have you guys with us this morning. Hey, we got a couple things to bring to your attention, some announcements for you. We've got continue praying for Libby Thulin. She's doing remarkably well. There's some great things going on there with her. Hopefully, if everything continues to go well, they'll get her on intubation and she'll be breathing on her own. She's giving her mom eye rolls when she makes jokes, so things are going pretty good. So she's a good, she's normal teenager that way, so but continue to pray for her. Next Sunday's Children's Day, and there's a picnic following church for everyone who wants to stay and be a part of that. So please plan if you would like to be a part of that and attend. That is coming next Sunday. Other than that, that's all I have for announcements. But we're gonna pray real quick and get things started and have a great time worshiping together this morning. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much that you don't give us the 85-year plan for our life, where we look at it like a calendar and we see what's coming ahead, because we would run scared and hide away saying that is impossible. But you have ordered our steps, you've numbered our days, you've labeled each one, you've laid out those days even before one of them has come to be, and you encourage us that we can and we will live for you. So today, as we come before you, I just pray that today would be just another day in the life of a Christian for all of us, where we gather together and worship, and we worship you, trusting and believing all that you've promised. And Lord, that even if it's a hard day, it's a good day knowing that you walk with us in it. If it is the best day, may we be reminded that better days are yet to come. And Lord, this morning, we put into your care all those who are sick and weary and tired and burdened and heavy laden. And we ask that you would heal them up from the inside out and make them well and whole. And we know, Lord, for that to happen, that means that some people are going to receive that promise that you made for them, which is, behold, I prepare a place for you. And I just pray, Father God, that today would be a day of absolute trust in a Savior who loved us enough to die for us, to secure for us an eternity that cannot be shaken or moved. And that Savior's name is Jesus. And in his name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Let's stand and worship Jesus together.
Your name that is done before, which means Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawn, it's time to sing your song again, whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. I'll live or adore
Good morning.
This is the time we have an opportunity for anybody in the congregation that would like to pray for Vince and Deanne and their family for their leaving and for our finding a new pastor for the church. So if you'd like to pray, please stand up and I'll bring the mic to you. Don't everybody do it all at once. Thanks, Ray, for being first.
Being a guinea pig. Oink, oink. Heavenly Father, we love you so much today. And thank you, Lord Jesus. Indeed, it was wonderful to worship you with my brothers and sisters in Christ this morning. Our heart belongs to you, Lord. I so praise you. I so praise you, Lord. Your steps are going before us. And we see them, Lord, and we're walking in them. And you are showing us how to be strong in the days ahead. You're showing us how to be go through the hard things and the beautiful things. Father, I specifically lift up Vince and his family. Lord, so many loose ends, so many things to accomplish in a day of 24 hours. So many tasks and responsibilities and weariness and all mixed in together with joy. Father, I pray for a refreshing for them, a deep celebration in their hearts, for their future lays before them, and your glory goes with them. Father, we love you so very much. We are nothing without you. Your word says that we should abide in the vine. For we are the branches, and we can do no good thing apart from you. Let your perfect will go before us, Father. We are learning how to wait on you, and this is a good thing also, Lord. Your blessings are unfolding before us, and we're so grateful, Father. Bless the pastor that's coming. Bless him and keep him, and anoint him, Father, to show us your word and the way that you are directing him and us. Let him be anointed especially, Lord God, for this hour that we live in. It's a challenging time, and nothing escapes your sight nor surprises you. So we have great confidence, Father, in the days ahead. It's so good to worship here, Father. It's so very good to bow our hearts and heads before you and to worship, to sing praise to you for all the blessings you give us each day, all week long, and then to come together to worship. It's a beautiful thing, Father. I praise you and thank you and give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ray. Do we have others?
Father, we thank you that you're a wonderful God and all-powerful God. And Lord, we know that this church, this gathering together of people, is your church filled with your people. And Lord, we're confident that you're not going to leave your sheep without a shepherd. We're confident, too, that Pastor Vince and Deanne and the family are going to find not only a different home, but a different purpose, a new purpose, where they'll be used in at least as significant a way as what you use them here. And Father, I'm confident that you're going to bring the next pastor will be a person of your choosing, Lord, and that it'll be a person that will complement what Pastor Vince has ministered and imparted to this congregation. So we thank you, Lord, that you've heard our prayers. We thank you, Father, that rather than being a problem, that this is indeed an opportunity for you to be glorified and show your greatness and your love for your people. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Harold. Others?
Father, we thank you for this group of family, friends, fellow Christians that come together every morning to worship here on Sunday to be with you in their house. I pray you be with Pastor Vince and Deanne as they move on to their next step in life, that you bless their lives and give them the strength and the knowledge to know where to go from here. There's a lot of uncertainty right now at this point for a lot of different questions. I also pray you be for the pastor that we're searching for, that you touch their heart, you open it up, and open the church up, that our prayers and stuff be heard, and that somehow, someplace, there's a person special that's supposed to come here. I just pray that you be with us, give us the right mind and the knowledge to know who that person is, but that's all up to you, dear God. I pray today that you be with this church and the congregation, and that they're daily in prayer for seeking a new pastor, and that we're also in thinking about restarting our youth program back up, and that you bring the directors and the leaders and everyone into coordination so that this happens this fall, because our youth is our special need right now, dear God. Watch us and bless us and protect us, dear God. I ask these things in your name.
Thanks, Ron. Okay, others? If not, our Heavenly Father, we do come thanking you continually for all the blessings that you have bestowed, you continue to bestow on us. We know that we as a congregation are a bunch of imperfect people, but you will send the right shepherd to lead us and direct and guide us that we might prosper and move forward in your kingdom. We ask, Father, you also remember Deanne and Vince and their family, and guide them as they start out a new life in Indiana, and direct them by their thoughts and their actions. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, guys. You know, it's always interesting when I get ready to prepare a sermon and make things happen for Sunday morning and how that's all going to come together. And one of the unique things that is always interesting is to watch how the music and the sermon's going to come together. And I sat there kind of chuckling and laughing today about that, how that all worked together. And one of the other indicators that is there is one of the problems I run into is the more distracted I am at the beginning of service and during worship indicates how important things are in the message I'm going to be speaking on that day. And so today things were running through my head when we were in worship. I wish I was saying I was totally focused on Jesus this morning, but there were squirrels running through my head. It was not pleasant. So I'm like going, okay, Jesus, this is good. This is for somebody. I don't know who it's for. And backing it up a little bit further this morning, again, how much opposition I run into usually indicates where things are at for a message. And I know I'm hyping this up, but when I came in this morning and I started going through it, I turned to page 2 and found out that I had completely lost the second page of my sermon, and it was nowhere in my computer. So I was like, oh my goodness, what a day for a message that talks about the best is yet to come, right? And the only thing to top that off is when the title popped up, Rachel read it, and she said, wow, I thought that said the beast is yet to come. I said, no, that's a totally different sermon for another day, but it's all true. The beast will yet come. But to give you an idea about today and what's going on in just this last 2 hours, 3 hours has been kind of crazy for me in my head. And it's kind of like life. Because if you knew now what was going to happen in your life, if you knew back then when you were young what you know now, would you believe it to be true? Would you believe you were going to be right here, right now? I look out across the congregation and I see lots of stories of life. A young guy had a stroke. Many people have had cancer. People have lost loved ones. We start out and we have high hopes for marriage, and so many marriages end up in the gutter or divorced or struggling or falling apart. None of us start out thinking, yeah, I want to have that, right? But sometimes life happens. You think of all you've gone through and all that you've endured, and you go, I can't believe that I'm still standing. And you think of all the good times and the great things, and you look and you think, I can't believe I'm so blessed. We've all had a measure of success, but we've also all had a measure of failure. Some days we're strong and other days we're weak. Some days we're broken and some days we are healing. And who you've become today is a culmination of all those things. And even who you're becoming will be built on that foundation. You know, some of the best stories we have come from looking at the biggest scars in our life. I don't know how I made it through. And you look and you see the scars. And sometimes we let those successes and failures and brokenness and healings define us. And sometimes that's good and sometimes that's bad, because I don't care who you are right now, you are not what you were, and you're not yet what you're meant to be. So don't get hemmed in by one definition, because there are better things to come for you in your life. Yesterday and all the pain from the years past doesn't make you you. It's part of making you, but who you are going to be is yet to come. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 reminds us of that. It says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And I don't know about you, but my troubles never, ever seem to be light and momentary, right? They seem to be something that drags on, and the only time that we get rid of them and we forget about them is when a new problem arises that we have to attack and conquer. Oftentimes, we just drag around our problems like Linus in his blanket. Sometimes we never empty out the knapsack of our lives with all of our struggles and problems, and it weighs us down to the point where we can't even stand upright. And it's so important that we remember God's word, that our past is the past. It's part of us, but it is not the definition of who we are. And the struggles we face right now and the problems that are at hand and before us, they're nothing, because there are greater things ahead than we could ever dream or imagine or hope for. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 11 are some great words for us today. It says this, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety, your troubles, and your cares on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong and firm and steadfast. And to him be the power forever and ever. Amen. You know what's beautiful about that is when we read those words, we realize something so important for us. We are all in the palm of God's mighty right hand. And that we have to humbly put ourselves there time and time again. You know, there's a time in our lives when we always want to sit on mommy or daddy's lap, but then when we get older, we're told to go away. Shoo, shoo, shoo. Don't sit on me. You're too big. This isn't. God never, ever says we're too old, too big to sit on his lap. But we have to humbly crawl up and just kind of land there in his presence. And there's no better time than when you're in the middle of struggles and trials and troubles of all kinds, because no one is going through anything new. We are all still facing struggles, but the difficulty is that we think we're the only ones. That little verse reminds us, stand firm in the faith because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Ever since the Garden of Eden, there's been struggles. Ever since man chose sin over relationship with God, we have seen that God has said you will have difficulties in this world. And we're all going to have problems. But how can we help one another through those problems? We have to encourage one another and strengthen one another. But we also have to remind one another and be reminded ourselves that we have someone who can do something about all of them. And aren't you glad that you have someone who can do something about it? Because you can't do something about the big things. Now, I'm not, bills, we can make money. We can pay bills. Difficulties, not a problem. Death, sin, hell, those things we have no control over. Those are all in the hands of Jesus. And we have Jesus on our side. Don't forget, 1 John 2, 1 and 2 says this, my dear children, I write this so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the world. It's exciting to know that Jesus is on our side. To know that he is there for us, that he is interceding on our behalf, that he is working for us, even in the midst of our troubles and trials and our struggles and our sins. I love 1 Peter 1, 3 through 7. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance, this is cool, that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Think about that. Rachel was right. The beast is yet to come, and there's a great salvation that is coming. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief of all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. You know, it's so incredible to know that Jesus, the one who died for us, is coming back for us and going to receive us into his presence forever, that the struggles that we're facing are really struggles and troubles and trials and difficulties, but they're nothing in comparison to what's waiting for us. Nothing in comparison to what's been given to us. And we not only have Jesus, but we also have a new master that lives in our house. Remember who that is? He moved into your dump. He moved into your fixer-upper. And he is able and willing to do way better than Chip and Joanna Gaines can do in fixing your fixer-upper, okay? Romans 8, 26 through 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. The beautiful thing about God is he not only says, I will open the door for you to be coming into my eternity with me, that you can have a relationship with me, that you can be part of my family forever. I'm sending someone to fix you up from the inside out. And when you don't know what to do, he does. When you don't know which way to turn, he says, this is the way. Go in it. And the beautiful thing about that is God is working diligently to make you into the person he desires you to be. And he's never going to quit. And when troubles come and problems come, don't worry. He's got a plan for that too. When difficulties arise and it looks like this might be your last breath, guess what? Your last breath here is the one that precedes your first breath there. And you don't have to worry, oh, what's going to happen to me after I die? Well, you know what? It says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I don't know what all that's going to look like, but I do know this. When this body dies, I'm with the Lord forever. What he does with this, I don't care. He says I'm going to get something better later, and I don't really care. So burn me, box me, stick me on the mantle, ship me by UPS back and forth at holidays and special events. Hey, put me on the altar at the wedding. I don't care, whatever it is. It don't matter. Jesus is going to put me back together and make something great. But please understand, he's trying to make something great in you right now. And he's doing it from the inside out. And praise God, these broken old bodies of ours, they don't come along for the ride. They're going to be transformed into something incredible. See, God's great desire is that you would be saved, that you could be part of his family forever, but it has a requirement for your salvation. You need to respond to his offer of grace. All of these things I'm going to say have a requirement with them. He desires that you'd be saved, but you have to respond to his offer. He desires that you would be sanctified, but you need to surrender completely to the renovating work of the Holy Spirit in your life today so you can be fit for heaven tomorrow. He desires that you would be fortified and be able to stand firm in your faith no matter what comes your way. Life, death, battle, hell itself, it doesn't matter. He wants you to be able to stand firm in your faith, rooted in his word. But to do that, you have to be battle tested and proved worthy and right as you stand on his word. And here's the tough one that we forget. God's great desire is that you would be Christ personified in this world. Not that you would be Jesus, but you would be so much like him that the world can't tell the difference. But that means that you have to surrender your sin at the cross, and you need to pick up his grace, mercy, and love and listen to the Holy Spirit and rise above and be sanctified in his word. You see, Jesus was the very image of God on this earth, showed us what God is like and what he does and how he lives. And he says, as you have seen me, go and do likewise. Please don't forget that. Don't put the frosting of grace on so thick that you wipe out your responsibility to live a sanctified, holy life like Jesus. Because he said, as the Father sent me into this world, I'm sending you. You're supposed to be Jesus to the world right now. I'm supposed to be Jesus to the world right now. How are we doing? Vince, you're not making this any easier. I got enough troubles and problems. I don't need to worry about that. Maybe if we worried about that first, our troubles and struggles would take care of themselves. There will be struggles and troubles now, no doubt, but he has promised us great glory later. And a passage you can start and end your day with, no matter what, is John 14, 1 through 4. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. And you know what the beautiful thing is this? He has given us the promise of heaven, and he's allowed us to be optimistic about life, and he's given us peace and encouragement that we have an eternity with him. In that verse, there's so much there that if we just concentrate on what he's given to us, everything's going to be all right. Because when you know the way, you don't feel lost any longer. And if God has made his promises to his people and he is faithful, we don't have to struggle. Because we know that whatever we face today or tomorrow, it doesn't matter because we know some great things are coming. and this temporary neighborhood is not our hope nor our final home. But there are great things in store for us. 2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 10 is something that should encourage us. Right in the middle, though, is this little stumbling block. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we're at home in the body, we're away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. You know, what's incredible about that passage is we know that there are better things and great things in store for us down the road, that when we enter into His presence, one of the great things is we're going to be overwhelmed with the fact that there we are, right there before Jesus. But don't forget those words right there that it says, we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. And right there in the middle of those verses, there's this reminder to us not to cheapen grace, but remember the great responsibility that comes with having received it. We make it our goal to please Him. Are we making it our goal, our every breath, to please Him with our lives? Everything we do, everything we say, all that we think, everything that we, how we treat one another, are we living in such a way that everything is done in such a way that it is to please Him, not ourselves? You know, people ask me, so now that you're leaving, what are you going to do? I'm like, no idea. Where are you going to work? No idea. What, you got a church lined up? Nope. Don't even know what one we're going to go to. You mean you don't have a job? Nope. What are you going to do? Love my wife. That's all I can come down to right now. It's like, love my wife. Huh? Yep. I've slacked at that for the last 27 years. I said, I got a lot of making up to do. So, love my wife. It's harder than it seems, folks. I know. When I opened my mouth and said those words, I'm just going to love my wife, I didn't realize what I was getting myself into, right? This young couple got married last Wednesday night. I was like, you're going to love each other. Oh, they had beautiful vows, didn't they? You guys were just all, oh, they're so cute, so sweet. Yeah, good luck. It's harder than it seems. I'm finding out that when I just do what's necessary to make her happy and I put barnwood on the front of the she shed and do all I can and say yes, dear, and she's happy. I don't always get my way, but it's all right because she's happy. Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine because guess what? She's happy. You know what? If we really love Jesus, we wouldn't care about anything else in our lives other than one thing. That's making Him happy. Because when He's happy, we're overly blessed. And we are already overly blessed, but He pushes it over the top. And I'm not saying do things to get more blessing from Jesus, because you got way more than you deserve right now, okay? But if you really, really, really love Jesus with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, you would do absolutely everything to make Him happy. You wouldn't wait 27 years to start making up for lost time. Verses 16 through 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, we don't lose heart, though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I figured out why I lost half a sermon and had to rewrite this morning. And I'll get there. You know, 8 years ago, I built a building on my property. It was the first one I ever built. Never did nothing like that before. I did things by myself for the most part. And if you don't look at it too close, you just admire it from a distance, it's a pretty nice little building. It works. It's good. Roof don't leak yet. That's the next owner's problem, not mine. But anyways, the interesting thing with that, I had no clue what I was doing when I started, and I just started. It's kind of like most of us in our lives, with marriage, having kids, building buildings, following Jesus. We have no idea what we're doing. You know, that was 8 years ago, and this March, April, I started into building another building. And the past 2 months, I still don't know what I'm doing. I'm still building without a plan. I hurt at the end of the day. And I crawl into a one-ton pickup truck and I drive 300 miles back on a Saturday night, praying to God I don't have to go to the bathroom because I don't know if I can crawl out and get back in that stupid truck along the way. To say I'm feeling my age and some of your age is an understatement. That's what it's like living in an imperfect and broken world, crooked and leaky, living in temporary things. And here's where I realized why I lost part of my sermon. I was really encouraged this morning. Margie came squeaking in with her walker. 95 years old and still going. Not as strong as she once did, but still going. Good job, Margie. All she's lived in her 95 years. All she's lost in those 95 years. She is tougher than most of us. More tenacious than probably every one of us. And while she remembers her past and all of her loss, she's looking forward to her future and all she has gained because of Jesus Christ. Because there will come a day when she will be with her Jesus, number one. And with her Lawrence, number two. And her Alan, number three. Because she's always put her hope and trust in Jesus to get her through the loss of both of them and everything else in her life. That comes along with living 95 years. And that could be said for any of these grouping of gray-haired saints in this church. The pain that she has carried longer than I've been alive is overshadowed with the hope and the promise that one day Jesus will take her home to be with all whom she loves. You know, all of us have things we wish we didn't have to go through, things we wish we could forget, but all of it has made us us. And above all the troubles and the struggles and the fears and the problems right now, we have an incredible promise, and His name is Jesus, and all of His promises to us are yes and irrevocable. We all have hope because of Jesus. We all live in victory over all of the things that we are facing because of Jesus, because we have the promises of God to lean into. So when life is overwhelming and it's difficult and it's beating you down and you don't know if you can get up one more time and keep going, get up that one more time. And remember Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you won't grow weary, nor shall you lose heart. See, ladies and gentlemen, there are great things ahead. And if we remember all the great things we have and what is yet to come, we'll get through this too. And this beautiful little bit, closing portion. And the God of all grace, who called you into his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong and firm and steadfast. And to him be the power forever and ever. Amen. And please remember, all the power of God in the universe that he has at his disposal, he has entrusted to care for you and I and transform us from the inside out. The best is yet to come. Let's pray. Father God, it was no small task sending your Son into this world to die on a cross for our sins. Jesus, it was not an easy task to come into this world full of sin and death and hatred and malice, and willingly allow yourself to be crucified and die for us at the hands of sinful men. And Holy Spirit, it is no small thing moving into the dump of our lives. But you don't shy away from the hard things. You say, better days are ahead. The best is yet to come. I have something great I'm going to do because I see the potential in every human life. Lord, I pray that as we go through renovation from the inside out, that we would be reminded that it is going to be painful as you rip out and tear out and rebuild. That sometimes life isn't easy. Sometimes parts of us get carted off in dumpsters and thrown into a trash heap and burnt. Lord, I pray that we would embrace each day with you as it comes and give you the praise and the glory and honor by trusting you by faith that our best day is yet to come. All because Jesus said so. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's stand as we sing our closing song together. As we were singing that song, I was thinking about the woman who was suffering from bleeding, and she snuck up behind Jesus and touched his robe, believing she could be healed. The blind man crying out, "Jesus, help me." The lepers crying out, "Jesus, cleanse me." The four buddies who were brave enough to dig a hole through a roof to drop their buddy down to Jesus, heal him. Someone so far outside the faith that heard what Jesus could do, saying, "Heal my son, heal my daughter." All of them did whatever it took to get to Jesus, to get what they needed, and didn't let anything stand in the way. May you have that faith in Jesus, with whatever you're facing, that you can come to him, fall at the foot of the cross and say, "Jesus, I need you." Father God, thank you for Jesus. Jesus, thank you for coming. Holy Spirit, don't quit yet. Knock out the walls, renovate. And dear God, if you decide you're putting up shiplap in our lives, so be it. But whatever it is, may it be for your glory, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week, folks. We'll see you.